Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. It's a joy to have you tuning into the program today. I do hope it will be a blessing as I'm going to continue a sermon that I started last week, a sermon that I preached at Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting in Jackson, Georgia, this past July. What an experience that was, one of the great old Holiness Camp Meetings here in America. My dad used to say, son, if you ever get to Indian Springs, that's the big leagues of camp meetings. It was my privilege to be there and to share in ministry with two other ministers in the main services as well as a Bible teacher. Four services a day. What a joy it was. And I hope you enjoy the sermon titled Obsessed with Christ. I started it, as I noted, last week and will conclude it this week. And then next week will feature a sermon preached by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman, and the founder of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter and enclose a gift so that we can stay on your radio station. It's a 5-weekend month, the month of August, and we sure could use your help. So if you don't mind praying about that and thinking about it, we ask for an offering. We don't solicit tithes that go to your local church, but if you have an offering that you can give, that would mean so much. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Well, this fourth weekend of the month of August, I am in Dilwyn, Virginia at Enon Baptist Church, closing those services on this Sunday morning, the 24th. And then I'll travel to Vicksburg, Michigan to the annual evangelist gathering. That's August 27 to 31. And then I'll have a few days off, Labor Day week. On September the 7th, I'll be ministering at our home church here in Columbus, Indiana at Flintwood Wesleyan. That's just Sunday morning only. We'll be sharing in music there. And then traveling September 10 to 14 to Marksville, Louisiana, to the Church of the Nazarene. And then following that revival meeting, Crossroads Church of the Nazarene, September 21 to 24 in Lenore City, Tennessee. So I do cover your prayers as we're involved in these services. And pray for us for safe travel and fresh anointing and good energy as we stand in the pulpit and share the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for those who are listening to my voice today, and I pray your blessing upon them as we continue this sermon on being obsessed with Jesus Christ. We love you today. Thank you so much for your goodness and for the way you've been faithful in our lives across the years. I pray all of this, ask all of this, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
I could not go on without him, I know this world would overwhelm my soul. I would not see the right way to go when temptation o'er me rolled. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down and troubled in soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. He speaks in a still small voice, we're told it's a voice that dispels all my fears. So when I am cast down and troubled in soul, this still small voice I hear. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down and troubled in soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down and troubled in soul,
Jesus seems to be, throughout the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, he seems to be all wrapped up in, directed by, constrained by his Father's will. To use a contemporary word, he was obsessed. He was obsessed with his Father's will. Oh, we know what it is to be obsessed, don't we? You know anybody who is obsessive compulsive? I know a few people like that. But we get obsessed about things. I have a marvelous companion. Her name is Gretchen. She's one of the most unselfish women I've ever known. She measures right up there with my mother as far as her love for Jesus is concerned and her care for others. But one day I walked in the house. We live in a little cottage, a little two-bedroom, one-bathroom cottage in Columbus, Indiana, and I walked in the cottage this particular day, and she's sitting over there in her recliner, and she has this kind of somber look on her face, and that's not like her. My wife is always up. My wife is always positive, but she's got this look, and I know something's wrong. I say, "What's the matter, honey?" And she responds. She says, "Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just a little depressed." Depressed? I've never seen you depressed. What do you mean, depressed? She said, "Yeah. Just kind of came over me. Just kind of depressed." I said, "Well, is there anything that I can do to get you out of this depressed state? I don't like this." And then she looked at me and she said, "Well, been thinking about that." Then she says, "You know, I think it would help if I could just buy something." Buy something? What? Oh, a dress. I'd like a new dress. I think that would help immensely. Get in the car. Get in the car. And we go get in the car. We go to Kohl's. I follow her down to the dress area of Kohl's department store. I find the man chair. It's going to take a while. I see her grab a dress off of this rack and off of that rack, and then she disappears into the dressing room, and she comes out, and she models it to me. She says, "How do you like this one?" "Well, that's kind of nice, honey. I like the way that looks on you. It's kind of got your color in it. I like that." And then she goes and tries on another one, comes back out, and she models that in front of me. "Oh, I like that one too, honey. That's nice. Got a nice shape. I like the collar of that one. That's pretty good, honey." And then she goes, tries on another. About 50 minutes into this process, I make up my mind. I don't care what she's got on the next time. We're buying it. I'm ready for this to be done. And so she comes out the next time, and I said, "That's it. That's the one. That's got Gretchen written all over it. We're going to buy that one." And so we pay for the dress. It's in the bag. We're on our way out to the car. There's a kick in her step. She feels better, no longer depressed. And she was just obsessed. I need to buy something. Now, that didn't really happen, but it's a pretty good story, isn't it? As I've told you during my time with you, I like cars. I like cars, and in 1964, the Mustang hit the market. And from day one, I wanted a Mustang. I liked the way they looked. I liked the shape. I saw that little Mustang sitting on the floor of the Ford dealership in Greensboro, North Carolina. I went down to look at that little Mustang convertible top, three on the floor. I wanted that car. I asked my dad to help me get it. My dad, Dave, was talking about how his father would respond to certain things when they had requests and did things. And whenever I wanted something from my dad, really wanted it badly, my dad wouldn't just outright say, "No, son, you can't have that." My dad would spiritualize it. "Well, son, I don't think I can see my way clear to buy that right now. I knew I wasn't going to get it. And I didn't get that Mustang. Now, I've had cars throughout my life, but I always wanted a Mustang. Kind of obsessed with the idea. I sure would like to have a Mustang. When I turned 70 years old, 9 years ago almost, I saw my way clear to get a Mustang. I saw my way clear. I got that Mustang. I was obsessed. I had to have that Mustang. And you know, we get obsessed over certain things, don't we? We get obsessed. I've got to do this. Got to have that. Well, if you understand what I'm talking about this morning, you kind of get a glimpse of the heart and mind of Jesus. He says, that's the way I am. It's not about my getting a material thing. It's not about something I want. It's about my Father's will. I live for it. I've got to do it. I'm obsessed by it. Everything about me points to that one thing. I'm going to do my Father's will. I've got this obsession. I've got this compulsion. Everything about me is under that power, is under that drive to do His will. It's a drive that pushes me day in and day out. My Father's will, just as the living Father sent me. And I live because of the Father. So, that connects us with the equation. So, the one. So, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. What's he trying to convey to those disciples back then and those multitudes of people that came to hear what he had to say? What is he wanting them to get? I think this is what he wants to say without any damage to the Word of God. I think he's saying, as my whole heart beats for the Father, so your whole heart is going to beat for me. As I have one driving passion, you're going to have one driving passion. As I seek to do my Father's will, and that drives and guides my life, you're going to seek to do my will, and that will drive and guide your life as well. I'll determine your days. I'll determine your nights. I'll determine what you do and what you don't do, where you go and what you're involved in. I'll determine how you handle your responsibilities down at the house, down at the church, on the job. You're going to be so obsessed with me that you're going to be able to stand with the Apostle Paul and say, for me to live is Jesus Christ. Obsessed. You say, Lane, isn't that a bit radical? That's a bit radical. Well, as a matter of fact, it is. You don't have to bring much to the table to get in on this. But I promise you, if you're serious about it, it's going to take everything you got once you do. He's going to want everything. He is going to be the preeminent one in your life. I fear that the great deception of the 21st century church, and we've heard this alluded to over and over again during this camp meeting. The great deception in the 21st century church is to think I can say some words and sound like repentance, add Jesus to my life, and that is the end and solve all of Christianity. We found out in these 10 days that's not true. Being a Christian, serving Him is so much more. Now understand, I'm not talking about super saint over against lesser saint. As I study the Word of God and look at the life of Jesus, what He had to say to us, and what Paul and Peter and all of those who wrote the books of the New Testament had to say to us, is that there is only one standard. We don't believe in tri-level Christianity. One standard for the teens. Feed them enough pizza and Pepsi, and finally they'll kind of get it and get on board. We don't believe that. We believe they can get totally on board now. We don't believe there's one standard for the laity of the things in their lives besides Christianity. Oh, yeah, they want to be a Christian, but I got other things going on in my life. But I'll give penance to Jesus, and I'll go to church. Different standard for me, though, than the evangelist, the pastor, the missionary. I don't find that in the Word of God. There is only one standard. Only one standard. Obsessed with Him. Oswald Chambers said it well. There is only one place where we are right. And that is in Christ Jesus. When we are there, then we have to pour out all we are worth in this ministry of the interior. My good friend, the late Dr. Mark Sarton, wrote this, and I share it in closing. No single spirit has hindered the gospel of Christ Jesus and the advancement of His church more than the spirit of timidity. It has shut the mouth on testimonies, robbing the unsaved of the good news of the gospel. It has shut down family devotions, robbing children a heritage of faith. It has cut the cord of three strands from marriages, leaving husbands and wives without the central presence of God in their marriages. It makes milquetoast out of men who could otherwise be strong and bold men of God, therefore leaving children, wives, and friends without a real man of God in their midst. Timidity has removed the cause of Christ and the power of the Spirit from churches and turned them into social gatherings, palatable neighbors of sin. Timidity has erased the distinction of holiness from Christian living and given rise to a form of grace that washes no one clean. It removes the gifts of the Spirit from practice in believers and in the church, effectively removing their intended God-given potential to build believers and advance the church of Jesus Christ. Obsessed. One simple question as I depart Indian Springs this day. Can you describe your relationship with Jesus as an obsession? Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Father, we are preparing to take that which symbolizes your blood and your flesh. May we be willing to eat this bread, remembering the passage about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. And if there is something missing in our Christian experience today, may this time of remembering bring that to our attention as we take these elements and honor you.
What will you do for Jesus? He's done so much for you. He gave His life a ransom for sin. What will you do for Lord, you said, greater love hath no man but that he lay down his life for a friend. Then you called me friend and laid down your life. I don't know if I understand love enough to die for a friend. But Lord, help me to love you enough to be willing to lay my life on the line for you. As I live, help me to take risks, reach out my hand, open up my heart for those in my life for love of you. Lord, help me give greater love. What will you do for Jesus? He's done so much for you. He gave his life a ransom for sin. What will you do for him? For
thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.